grinning to Lee on the phone. I only felt a little guilty, though. I mean, Levi didn't want to sit here watching my brother play games. At least a movie was better entertainment. Or so I thought. "What video games?" Levi asked my brother. Brad's face lit up, and I could see him wondering if he could win Levi over to his side. "My dad says I'm not mature enough for any of the games with guns and stuff, you know, like Grand Theft Auto, but I've got some really cool racing games." He started naming some of his favorites, meaning the ones he was best at. "And Zelda. I have Zelda."
"I don't mind playing with you, as long as your sister says that's okay."
Levi turned to me, waiting for approval, eyebrows knitted together.
"I mean, if you've got homework to do."
"You honestly don't have to," I muttered quietly so Brad wouldn't hear.
"Better than painting nails," he said. "My sister loves giving me a manicure."
"Elle, can we play, please?"
My eyebrows shot up. I couldn't help it. If Brad was saying please to me, his big sister, then he must have taken a liking to Levi. I made a mental note that he would always be my new babysitting buddy from now on if Lee wasn't free.
Well, I don't see why not. Good luck trying to beat my high score, though. Even Lee hasn't managed that.
So while Brad set up his console and loaded a game, I left them to it, deciding to finish redrafting my essay on the Cold War that was due on Monday. I opened the Word document titled College Application Essay, but after staring at the blank page for a few minutes and not being able to think of something to fill it, I closed it back down. College was all anyone seemed to talk about at school, and even though I knew I wanted to go, I had no idea what I wanted to major in or what I really wanted to do after college. Everyone else seemed to know, which wasn't really helping me deal with the stress of not knowing, but I felt sure that once I'd written my essay, everything else would fall into place. I'd figure it out. It'd be fine. It had to be. But this evening, I gave up on my essay, too distracted by listening to Levi cracking jokes and Brad getting competitive. Levi glanced over his shoulder at one point to flash a grin at me, and I found myself thinking how unlike Noah's crooked smile it was. There was something less daring, less exciting in Levi's smile. It was more like he knew a secret, and I knew it too. I'd heard girls at school talking about his smile. It was pretty charming, I guess. Even if my brother had been looking forward to hanging out with Lee, he quickly became a fan of Levi, just like the rest of us had. Brad didn't even complain when I snuck some vegetables onto his plate with his ravioli. He was too busy chatting with Levi about soccer and asking him about lacrosse. He even went to bed more or less on time. After 10 minutes spent arguing with me to stay up longer because Dad wasn't home yet and it wasn't even a school night. "I've already let you stay up half an hour longer than Dad would have," I exclaimed for the billionth time.
"Dad won't be home for another hour, though. Come on, Elle, don't be so uptight."
"Lee taught you that word, didn't he?"
"This is so unfair. Tell her, Levi. Tell her to stop being so uptight," he said, trying to rope his new best friend to his side.
"Sorry, but I'm with your sister on this one."
Brad scowled but grumbled in defeat.
"Fine. Thanks for playing video games with me," he added, then mumbled goodnight and stomped up the stairs to bed.
"Don't forget to floss," I called after him, even though I knew he wouldn't. Then I sank back down onto the couch next to Levi. "Thanks for that. For all of tonight, I really appreciate the help."
"I thought you said he was a total nightmare when you were talking about him in school."
"Let me tell you, you haven't even seen nightmare children.
Do you want to see my sister when she's hungry and tired? She gets so shrill and it's totally insufferable. I'm telling you, I'd switch any day."
"Wait till her PMS kicks in, too. But you'll be in college by then, right?"
"Right,"
he mumbled.
Thanks, though, really. The only people Brad really listens to are Lee and Noah, and that's only because he completely idolizes them from growing up with them around. Levi nodded, and after a pause said, So, you and Noah, were you guys friends before dating? I know you and Lee are close. I scrunched my face up. Not exactly. I mean, kind of. We were when we were all little kids, but then we drifted apart when he went to middle school. How did you end up together then? Stop me if I'm being rude. I'm trying for politely inquisitive. He grinned. Just nobody's really talked about what happened with you two. It seems kind of taboo or something. Not taboo, I said. It's just that not everyone knows the whole story. It's kind of complicated. He shrugged. I've got all night, or at least until your dad gets back and you kick me out. I smiled and tucked my feet up on the couch underneath me. Well, it all started with a kissing booth. And when I was done, Levi simply said, It's nice that Lee forgave you and that you two are still such good friends. I never had a best friend like that. I mean, I had best friends, sure, but not like you've got Lee. I nodded because I wasn't sure what to say. Times like tonight, I felt like I didn't have Lee much at all. We both turned back to the TV, some documentary on the History Channel. And after a few minutes, my cell phone rang. Noah. I answered, mouthing, one sec to Levi. Hey!
I just got in from a party. I wish you were here. I've got this bed all to myself, and it's incredibly lonely. I miss you.
He was slurring his words a little and yawned, long and loud. I blushed a little. Much as I'd like to be there and, cuddle up with you, can I call you back in a second?
Everything okay?
Yeah, I just have company. But Levi was standing up.
It's okay. I should probably head off now anyway. I promised my mom I wouldn't be home too late.
I nodded and told Noah to hang on just a sec as I walked Levi to the door. He slipped on his coat and picked up his car keys.
I'll see you at school on Monday?
Yeah, thanks again for tonight. I'll repay the favor sometime. He smiled brightly.
I'll hold you to that.
Back in the living room, falling across the couch with my feet dangling over the armrest, I clicked to turn the call into a video one. Noah appeared on the screen, lying on his side with his handsome face half smooshed into a pillow. I couldn't help but smile seeing him. It made my heart swell. Hey, sorry.
Who was that?
Noah's voice was more awake now, but still a little less than sober. Levi.
The new guy, Levi?
No, the old Levi. I rolled my eyes. Remember I said I had to babysit Brad tonight because my dad's not back till late, and Lee was supposed to hang out with me? Noah propped himself up on one elbow so I could see him better. He wasn't wearing a shirt. I wished he was here, or I was there. His mouth twisted to one side.
Let me guess, he ditched you for Rachel.
Yep, but he's taking me shopping tomorrow as penance and buying lunch. Anyway, he sent Levi as a replacement co-babysitter to keep me company, which was okay, actually. He's a pretty nice guy. Funny. Easy to talk to, you know? Everyone seems to like him. I smirked. The girls definitely seem to like him. He's got a lot of admirers, the way I hear it.
Should I worry I've got competition, Shelley?
Even though his voice was slow, his tone was unmistakably teasing. His blue eyes glittered even through the phone screen. Oh, totally. He laughed. How was the party?
All right, I guess.
Then,
I miss you.
I miss you more.
Nuh-uh.
What are you gonna do about it? You can't tickle me into submission all the way from Massachusetts.
Oh, believe me, when I see you next, I'll have to pack in weeks of tickling your ode.
I grinned, laughing softly. We carried on talking a little about college, school, our friends, though Noah seemed to ask more questions than he answered. I got the feeling he was avoiding talking to me about something, but it was such a small, silly, nagging thought I chose to ignore it. I was too happy seeing him, talking to him. I thought about confiding in him how it felt like Lee and I were drifting apart, but I didn't want to risk it getting back to Lee and upsetting him, so I decided it was better to keep that to myself. As we spoke in hushed voices, I felt an ache somewhere inside. Not exactly in my chest or my stomach, but just a deep-rooted, all-over kind of ache. I missed him so much. More than anything, I wished I could be curled up next to him with his arms around me, the rise and fall of his chest beneath my head, his fingers teasing my hair. I watched his lips moving as he talked, thinking about how much I wanted to kiss him. Noah's voice got slower, heavier as we spoke, and he sank back down into the pillow. A car drew up outside. Dad was home. I should go, I said, just as Noah yawned again. My dad's back. I'll talk to you tomorrow. I love you.
I love you too, he mumbled, half asleep. Sweet dreams.
He hung up then and left me smiling and feeling fuzzy inside, and I walked out into the hallway just as my dad was hanging up his coat.
Oh, bud, you didn't have to wait for me to get in.
You know I always do. How was the conference? He just pulled a face.
Sounds like you guys had a wild time.
He smiled tiredly.
As always. How was Brad?
An angel, I said, with no hint of sarcasm, and quickly explained that Levi had come to keep me company. Brad loved him.
I think this Levi guy is gonna have to be my new go-to babysitter. Come on, it's late. Way past your bedtime, bud.
Chapter 5. I plucked the pickle out of my burger, dropping it onto Lee's plate with a look of disgust. Now that that was disposed of, I dug into my cheeseburger with extra bacon and gave a moan of appreciation, grease dribbling down my fingers.
I should hope you're enjoying it for $18,
Lee muttered, but when I looked up, he was grinning. We were at the food court in the mall and he'd picked the restaurant. It was more expensive than our usual haunt. He was trying to soften me up and apologize for yesterday. It's worth every dime, I assured him, wiping some rogue mayo from the corner of my mouth. Lee asked me how the evening hanging out with Levi had been, faking horror that he might have been replaced as Brad's new favorite person.
I should have known Brad would like him, Lee said. Everyone seems to like the guy.
I heard he was nominated for prom king at his last school. I'm telling you, Lee, you keep bailing on me, you've got some serious competition. It was a joke, but he at least had the decency to look a little concerned. We were both too stuffed from our meals to order dessert, so we spent some time wandering around the mall and window shopping. Lee pointed to a couple of signs in windows declaring, "Help wanted, inquire within," but I told him it was useless. I'd already applied to every one he noticed. The few times I did get a reply, it was only to say that I wasn't the right fit, or that they were looking for someone with more experience. It sucked, but I wasn't especially surprised. Once we'd walked off our lunch, Lee bought us both ice cream cones from a stand in the food court.
You know, Lee said as we ate our ice creams, we'll probably have to come shopping again in a couple of weeks for the Sadie Hawkins dance. I need a new suit jacket. My old one's too small across the shoulders.
Oh, yeah?
He flexed his muscles. You know, since I'm the next star of the football team now.
Yeah, you have guns. I get it. So, Sadie Hawkins, that's not just a rumor then? I asked, but I was scrutinizing Lee. He'd been going to the gym with Dixon over the summer vacation and practicing more football with Noah. He was bulking up. He wasn't as big as Noah, but he was getting there. His arms were larger. I hadn't noticed until now, but the newly toned muscles in his arms were straining the sleeves of his t-shirt.
"Ethan Jenkins told me yesterday," Lee answered, not seeing me staring at his shoulders and arms.
Ethan was the new head of the school council since Tyrone had left for college. We hadn't had a meeting yet this year.
"Just as I thought it," Lee said. "And before I forget, there's a meeting Wednesday at lunch. Ethan told me that too."
"Sure, whatever. Now, focus on the major new development here, Sadie Hawkins dance. Did Ethan mention a date? Theme? Do you have any more information for me? You know I'm a sucker for a school dance."
"Oh crap, now you're freaking out. I shouldn't have told you."
"I'm not freaking out," I protested, maybe a little too vehemently. More calmly, I said, "I'm not freaking out.
I think it's like the first weekend of November or something. I wasn't really listening, but I do remember he said it was only going to be in the school gym. Nowhere fancy. He said they've cut the budget this year, like a lot, so they're doing Sadie Hawkins instead of the usual winter dance. And they're going to save most of the budget and the profits from fundraisers for the summer dance."
That makes sense, I guess. Lee started telling me about some new football play Coach Pearson was making them learn, but my eyes drifted, assessing dresses in store windows. My mind was half on the dance and half on the fact that actually I could really do with a job after school to help pay for a new dress.
"Shelley?
Huh?
Are you even listening to me?"
"Sure. One of the juniors fumbled the ball too many times and Coach had him run laps."
"You were thinking about the dance, weren't you?"
I hung my head slightly in confession. I didn't want to bring up the job thing again right now. Lee knew I'd been trying to get something, but I didn't think I could handle yet another pitying smile over it. "Maybe."
"Thinking about who you're gonna ask?"
He guessed, and I could have sworn I felt all the blood drain from my face. I'd forgotten that about the Sadie Hawkins dance. The girls asked the boys.
Crap.
"Want to go to the Sadie Hawkins together?" I knew what his answer would be, but I remained hopeful. Lee was my best friend, after all. We'd been to loads of dances together before, well, before Rachel. Predictably, his face fell before scrunching up with apology.
"I'm sorry, Shelley. You know I would, but..."
No, it's fine. Totally. I shouldn't have asked. Of course, you'll go with Rachel."
"I'm sorry."
I shrugged. "She's more important to you." I didn't say it out loud because I knew it would sound spiteful and jealous, and I was feeling kind of spiteful and jealous. Instead, I said, "You can't ditch your girlfriend to go to a dance with me. I'm sure that's overstepping some kind of boundary. Rachel's nice and all, but even she'd hate that."
"I'm sure Dixon would go with you, as friends, if you asked him."
I shrugged. Dixon would probably have offers from other girls. He might not have been conventionally attractive, but he was charismatic and funny and sweet.
"Maybe Noah will be home the weekend of the dance?"
Lee suggested brightly, a little too brightly. Neither of us actually expected that to happen, and I wasn't going to hold out hope. Besides, Noah didn't even like school dances. He had gone to them before because that was what the whole football team did, but he didn't enjoy them so much. He'd made a big display of asking me to the last summer dance and asking me to be his girlfriend in front of everyone, but... "He's a college boy now," I said, trying to joke about it. "Way too cool for some stupid high school dance." Would he laugh at me if I asked him? Would he come home for a weekend and go with me? Was it even fair of me to ask him to come all the way back here just for some dance? Lee reached over and slipped his fingers through mine, squeezing my hand. I squeezed back before letting go. We wandered around a couple of stores, and while I was still busy wondering how I could bring up the dance to Noah, I noticed Lee checking his phone and getting agitated. He kept almost saying something. I kept waiting for him to say something. I wasn't sure what, but something. Eventually, I grabbed his arm, yanking him to a stop near the fountain. "What the hell is going on with you? You're acting weird."
"I have to talk to you."
The words sent a pang of dread through me. I forced out a laugh and said, "Lee, are you breaking up with me?" He rolled his eyes, but the grim look stayed on his face. Eyebrows pulled low and close together, eyes downcast, mouth twisted, nostrils flared. "Okay, now you're scaring me. What's wrong? Is it Noah? Did something happen with Rachel last night? Lee?"
"I didn't see Rachel last night."
"Huh?"
"You assumed that's where I was, and I didn't tell you otherwise, but I let you think I was with Rachel. I didn't bail on you last night to see Rachel."
Then where were you?" The only time I'd kept anything from Lee was when I was sneaking around with Noah. I'd kept it from Lee because I didn't want to hurt him or ruin our friendship. But it wasn't like I had a sister Lee was sneaking around with, so what secrets did he have to keep from me?
"Football."
"Wait, hang on. You lied to me because you were at football practice? None of this makes sense."
"It wasn't practice."
Lee hooked his hands behind his head, leaning back.
"It was initiation. A bunch of guys who were on the team last year organized it. They said we couldn't tell anyone, so when I bailed on you and you assumed it was because I was hanging out with Rachel..."
"Why couldn't you tell anyone?"
"I don't know. It was just a thing. It wasn't like they threatened to kidnap someone we cared about if we told," he added, lightening up a little and flashing me a fleeting grin. "But I guess I wanted to be part of the team, you know?"
"How come you didn't just tell me earlier?"
"I don't know. But someone just posted a photo on Facebook, and I wanted you to know before you thought I was lying to you. For the record, I never lied."
He gave me a steady look. "Oh, come on, this is so not the same thing."
"I'm just saying I didn't lie. I just let you think it."
I chewed on my lip for a moment. "No, it's fine, Lee. It's no big deal. Initiation, I get it."
"It sounds so stupid now that I'm saying it, but it seemed really important last night, being part of the team, you know? And they were pretty intimidating about it. Like, they took this shit really seriously."
"Yeah, I get it. Hey, stop looking so worried." I patted his cheek, smiling. Although keeping secrets from me, and over football no less, was very un-Lee-like behavior. "So can you tell me what the initiation involved, or if you tell me, does that mean you'll have to kill me?" Relaxing, Lee laughed, and after swearing me to secrecy, he told me how they'd all snuck into the school, and the new guys on the team had to get through this kind of obstacle course to the locker room, and the first guy to make it there won.
"Well, they never said what the prize was, but I get the feeling it's just winning the respect of the rest of the team."
"Obstacle course?" I wanted to know.
"Oh, yeah. Not like hurdles and shit, though. So the rest of the team hid on the way to the lockers with pies and Nerf guns and stuff. And they set up trip wires. And they'd put butter in one of the hallways, so we were all sliding everywhere."
He laughed.
"That's one of the photos they put up. A bunch of us on our asses sliding down a buttery hallway."
"Oh my God," I snorted, reaching for my phone. "I cannot wait to see this. You're in it, right?"
"Only a little, and not on my ass."
"Did you win?"
"Of course. Come on, Shelly. It's like you don't even know me." "Yeah, I won."
I found the photo on John Fletcher's profile and giggled so loudly a few people looked over.
"Oh my God, I hope this makes the yearbook. The janitor is going to lose his shit on Monday when he sees this."
"Oh no, they cleaned up after.
The rest of the newbies on the team, they had to clean up because they didn't win.
He paused.
I'm sorry I didn't tell you last night.
No, Lee, don't. You can stop apologizing. I totally get it. I mean, I don't have to like it so much, but I'm not mad at you or anything, I swear.
Pinky promise?
Always. Before we left the mall, Lee insisted on going into the video game store to find something.
I need to win your brother back somehow. I can't risk losing both of you to Levi from Detroit.
Chapter 6. It was Tuesday afternoon, and once again, Lee was not spending time with me. Much as I tried, it was hard not to feel bitter about it. I kept telling myself I was happy for him, and I liked Rachel, but it stung every time Lee would come up to me with that spanked puppy look on his face and take a deep breath, and I'd know he was about to blow off whatever plans we might have had before he even got a syllable out. I'd suggested hanging out as a trio a few times, but even I knew they wanted some space and that I needed to step back. So I asked Dixon for a ride home, again. And now I sat on the couch, waiting for Brad to get home from Boy Scouts and Dad to get home from work, scrolling through my Twitter feed in case anything interesting was going on. Nothing was. I tried calling Noah, but he didn't answer. Maybe he was studying, I thought. If he was, he probably didn't want to be interrupted. It wasn't long after that my cell trilled and I jumped to answer it, not even pausing to check who was calling. Hey. Hey, Elle. My heart sank. It wasn't Noah. I got a heavy, sick sort of feeling in my stomach, like after you watch a sad movie. Maybe he'd call me later. Hi, Levi. You sound disappointed. I guess you were hoping for somebody else? Kind of. No offense. None taken. Then, Noah? Yeah. Well, if you're not too busy sitting around waiting for your boyfriend to call you, do you want to come over to my house for dinner? I was a little taken aback until something clicked into place. Is this payback for helping me babysit Brad? Yes, indeed. I sighed heavily, like it was a total hardship to stop doing nothing and hang out with a friend for the evening. And hey, it'd take my mind off Noah and Lee a little too. Text me your address. I'm on my way. 20 minutes and one wrong turn later, I walked up the driveway and rang the doorbell. Levi's house was small but sweet-looking, with a tidy front lawn and peeling paint around the windows. A wonky brass 209 was nailed to the bright green door. Levi opened it seconds later, wearing a floral apron, his hair sprinkled with flour. He was wearing the shirt he'd worn to school, with the sleeves folded up to his elbows, but the pants from his school uniform had been switched for skinny jeans. Hey, I like the apron. It's the epitome of masculinity and macho-ness. He laughed. That's the look I was going for. Come on in, we're baking brownies. Sounds yummy. I'm not sure about that, he admitted as I stepped inside and slipped off my shoes, placing them neatly on the shoe rack by the door and hanging my purse from a hook. I'm aiming for not poisonous. Now it was my turn to laugh. Just don't ask me to help. I've sworn off baking ever since my home ec disaster back in 8th grade. Ooh, an embarrassing story? Tell me everything. I may have used baking soda instead of a pinch of salt, and my cupcakes may have exploded in the oven. Just a little. It was messy, but there was no fire extinguisher required. Damn, Levi muttered. All the best stories have a fire extinguisher. But if that's the case, maybe just don't touch anything in the kitchen. I held up my hand. Scout's honor. As we walked through to the kitchen, I couldn't help but look around. It was pretty much the same layout as Cam's house, except a little more worn in. I guess the previous owners didn't care to refurbish much before selling. The dark hardwood floors in the hallway were scuffed and slightly scratched,
maybe from moving furniture in and out. In the kitchen, there was a rack above a counter with spatulas and serving spoons and ladles hanging from it, scrawled pencil drawings and report cards and certificates on the refrigerator were held in place by brightly colored magnetic letters, and school books and papers were splayed out on the breakfast bar. The messiest thing in the kitchen by a mile was the 8-year-old girl who stood on a small, sturdy plastic stool so that she could reach the counter. Her frizzy brown hair was falling out of its pigtails, and she wore one of those easy clean aprons, again, floral and pink. She turned round when we walked in, and the entire lower half of her face was covered in chocolate goop.
"Becca!" Levi cried, exasperated. "I told you not to eat anymore. You're going to make yourself sick."
"Who are you?" she asked me, completely ignoring her brother, in the same way Brad ignored me if Lee was around. She had wide hazel eyes, and right now they were fixed on me.
"I'm Elle. I'm one of Levi's friends from school. He asked me to come help babysit."
"Are you his girlfriend?" She turned her attention to her big brother.
"I liked your old girlfriend better. She had freckles."
"Becca," he snapped. But I smiled.
"No, I'm not his girlfriend. I'm just here for the brownies."
I let them direct me to greasing a cake pan while they finished off the brownie mixture. Becca talked at both of us about the drama from recess that day. I held the pan toward Levi, ready to say, "Hey, is this okay?" Except I barely got out, "Hey," before he threw a healthy sprinkling of flour in my face. I gasped, coughing and spluttering, flour flying from my mouth and nose and obscuring my vision. I blinked some bits of flour out of my eyes to see both of them laughing at me.
"Did you just throw flour in my face?"
"Becca did it."
"No, I didn't. I didn't, Elle. I didn't. Levi did it. You saw him."
"I'm going to kill you," I assured him, glaring. "I'm sorry. I don't know why I did it," he said, grinning maniacally.
I set the pan down on the counter and wiped my hands over my face, shaking flour onto the floor and onto the front of my clothes. While Levi had his back to Becca, I noticed her sneak another finger into the bowl and lick the mixture off her fingers before her brother could turn around again.
"If you do that again, I'm going to unfriend you. Officially. I'll unfollow you on Instagram and everything."
Levi held a hand to his heart, pouting.
"In that case, you have my sincerest apologies."
I grabbed some flour and threw it right back at him. The brownies turned out great. Levi cut one in half and we shared it before dinner, away from Becca's prying eyes. After dinner, he refused my help with the dishes, so I sat in the living room with Becca while she did some homework. She stopped writing to look up at me from the floor, tongue poking between the gap in her two front teeth.
"I liked Levi's old girlfriend a lot, but I like you too."
"That's okay. You can like lots of people."
"His old girlfriend was called Julie. Has he told you about her?"
"No, he hasn't."
"Well, I'm going to tell you all about her," she announced, lowering her voice to a conspiratorial whisper.
She abandoned her notebook to sit next to me on the sofa, and she told me gravely,
"They were in love."
I leaned in, dropping my voice too.
"Really? Really? But she broke up with Levi just before we moved. He cried a lot, but whenever I told him I knew he was crying, he said he wasn't. She had freckles and orange hair, and she played violin and piano. And she bought me nail polish for my birthday.
She sounds very nice.
I miss her. I'm sure Levi misses her too."
Becca pursed her lips.
"I think he still cries about her sometimes."
If I'd wanted to say anything else, I couldn't. The front door opened. I hadn't even heard a car pull up outside. Keys jangled and plastic bags rustled, and a voice called, "I'm home. Whose car is that outside, Levi? Have you got a friend over?
A woman I assumed could only be their mother walked in, dropping down some Publix bags filled with groceries. She wore a pantsuit and didn't have a hair out of place, but despite the stern appearance, she had a kind face, which softened her whole demeanor.
Hello.
Hi, you must be Mrs. Monroe. I stood up quickly, putting on my most parent-pleasing smile. I'm Elle, a friend of Levi's from school. It's so nice to meet you. She smiled back. I'm Nicole. Lovely to meet you too. Levi's told me a lot about you.
Mom.
He'd just appeared in the doorway behind her. Catching my eye, he shot me an apologetic smile.
Oh, Levi, go put the groceries away, will you? Have you had a bath yet, Becca?
No, but we made brownies. I hope you saved me some. Before Becca let her mom usher her upstairs, she poked my arm and said very politely, "Thank you for babysitting me." I suppressed a giggle but smiled. "You're very welcome, Becca." She babbled away to her mom as they went upstairs, and I collected the two remaining Publix bags and took them to the kitchen.
"Oh, thanks." Levi took them from me. "I was just about to come back for those."
Your sister's not half as bad as you made her out to be, you know.
I could say the same for your brother. Maybe we should switch them.
That might not be such a bad idea. I looked past him at the clock hanging on the wall. I guess I should probably head home.
You don't have to leave, Levi said quickly, then blushed. I mean, you're welcome to stay a little longer if you want, but obviously you don't have to.
I don't mind staying. And then I heard myself saying, So, your sister was telling me about Julie. Levi's whole body seemed to sigh. You never mentioned her at school to any of us. And I hadn't seen anything on his social media about her. Rachel and I had snooped one lunchtime.
She broke up with me when we found out we were moving here. We'd been together since freshman year. It was... whoa.
And I'd thought a few months felt like a long time to be dating.
When I broke the news about the move, she broke up with me then and there. She said that senior year was really important, and it is, obviously, and that a relationship on top of all of that was hard enough, but a long-distance relationship was something she didn't think she could handle. She said it was better this way for both of us. A clean break. And that was that.
You didn't fight for her?
She didn't want me to. I tried, but not much. It was killing her, I could see. She didn't want a breakup, but she didn't want a boyfriend she'd probably not see unless we ended up at the same college. And honestly, he shrugged, giving me a smile. I have no plans to go to college, so that was never going to happen.
I blinked, surprised. We'd all been talking a lot about college lately, and now that I thought about it, Levi had never shown much enthusiasm or talked about where he wanted to apply or what he wanted to major in.
I'm kind of jealous of you, you know, because you and Noah, you guys are trying at least. I wish she'd given us a shot, even if it didn't work out.
Maybe it was for the best, though, like she said.
Yeah, but...
but you loved her. I finished gently, my voice soft. Levi sighed again and went back to putting away groceries. I didn't know what to tell him. It wasn't like I had any experience to speak from, and I wasn't sure that the stuff I'd read in romance novels really counted. I settled on asking, "Do you still talk to her?"
"No."
"Oh.
I'm just trying to move on, you know? That's why I haven't kept in touch. And I guess that's why she hasn't messaged me either. I even deleted all the photos of us. It felt weird keeping them up, seeing them whenever I went on my profile. Now I'm just waiting to find that girl who I look at and who makes me forget all about Julie. Or maybe it'll only ever be Julie."
"I can't tell if you're a romantic or not." He just laughed, then said,
Sorry, you probably don't want to listen to me pining after some girl who stays away from me and not even my girlfriend anymore.
I don't mind. I mean, I've only ever been with Noah, so I'm not sure I'm best placed to give you any advice. But I don't mind listening if you want to talk about it. I know the guys might not seem like the best audience for pining to. They goof around a lot, but they're delicate, sensitive little flowers underneath it all. You know, Cam cried once because he thought Lisa was ignoring his texts, but you didn't hear that one from me. His smile was small and shy, but he looked touched.
Thanks, Elle. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Levi grabbed the plate of brownies, the groceries all put away now, and brought them over to the breakfast bar. I took a seat next to him and grabbed a brownie.
So, he said, tossing his curls back from his face. Now you know all about my ex and the fact that I'm not actually going to college. What else do I need to tell you about me? I feel like we're really unraveling the mystery of Levi Monroe tonight.
I laughed. Oh, come on, like you don't love being all mysterious.
One girl asked me last week if I really did cameo in Riverdale. That one was kind of cool.
I smiled, but found that I did have a question now that he'd asked. Where's your dad tonight? Levi shifted, a little uncomfortable.
He's... I'm sorry, you don't have to answer that.
Levi didn't talk about his dad much at school, but as far as I could tell, his parents were still together. There was even a photo of his parents on their wedding day in pride of place in the living room, I'd noticed. But Levi's malaise made me feel like I'd poked a hole in something I shouldn't have.
No, it's okay.
Levi sipped his scalding hot coffee, then said firmly,
He's at a support group. He goes after work. He's in remission from prostate cancer. That hit him hard, and then he lost his job, and things kind of spiraled. That's why we moved. Fresh start, you know? He's been doing better since he got a new job, even if it's only part-time.
Oh my God. Because honestly, I didn't know what else to say.
I know, right? Talk about a bit of a bombshell. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said anything. Just forget about it, all right?
He started to get up, cheeks blotchy, unable to meet my eye.
No, I just, I've never known anyone with cancer before, so I'm not really sure what to say, that's all. I hope everything's okay for your dad.
It will be.
Levi sounded so convinced I didn't dare try and suggest things might be otherwise, or that I was there for him if that was the case.
Don't tell the others, though, will you? I just don't want them to treat me weird or anything because of it. Everyone at my old school did, except Julie. She was the only person who didn't look at me like I was some sad stray puppy after my dad first got diagnosed.
You said he's in remission, I said. And that's good, right?
Well, he lost his balls, so no more surprise siblings. Oh shit, you didn't hear that either. Becca was totally planned.
He shot me a crooked smile, cracking jokes because that was his way of dealing with things, not wanting to open up too much about the hard stuff. I got that. I really got that. In that moment, I really felt for Levi. The poor guy had lost his girlfriend, moved away from all his friends. His parents had lost their jobs. His dad had been really sick. No wonder he hadn't opened up much. I had the urge to hug him tight.
But yeah, otherwise it's good, he went on before I could. They caught it right in the first stages and it was all resolved really quickly.
And I guess it's good he's got support groups to go to. Levi nodded, but was quiet. You know, my mom died years ago when I was little. She was driving and it was icy and she didn't make it home. Now it was his turn.
Oh my God.
It's weird though, because I'm just used to it now. Like I've spent nearly half my life without a mom. And sometimes I really, really miss her. And then I feel guilty for not missing her all the rest of the time, too, which makes things worse.
Didn't your dad ever remarry?
No. Sometimes I think he's still not over my mom dying. Or maybe being a full-time dad and having a full-time job doesn't leave a lot of time for dating.
But you're over it? Okay with it?
I gave Levi a wan smile. I don't think it's something you get over. You just go on anyway. But I get it, you know? People looking at you weird because of something like that. I think the guys would all be okay with you about it, but I don't know. If you want a shoulder to cry on or someone to vent to. Levi gulped, eyes shining. Thanks, Elle. Anyway, I said briskly, I totally forgot to ask you earlier. Are you going to John Fletcher's party in a couple of weeks? After my heart-to-heart with Levi, when I got home later that night, I took one of the old family photo albums out of the small cabinet in Dad's office. He walked past the open door on his way to the kitchen and stopped when he saw me sitting cross-legged on the floor, flicking through pages of photos from before even Brad was born.
What are you doing, Elle?
I shrugged, not quite trusting my voice. Last time I'd done this was in February. I'd had a complete breakdown because I'd forgotten it was Mom's birthday that day until Dad mentioned going to get some flowers to take to the cemetery. I spent the entire afternoon and evening studying photos of my mom and wondering what she would look like now. I did that when I missed her badly. I tried so hard to think if I remembered her looking like she did in the photos because I really did remember her, or just because I'd seen her photos around the house so many times.
Missing your mom, huh?
Dad's knees creaked as he sat down on the floor beside me. A little. I didn't want him to stay. I didn't want him to talk to me about it, or talk about her, and tell me stories, because that was only going to make me cry, and I didn't want to cry right now. Crying wasn't going to bring her back, I told myself, just like I'd told myself 100 times before. I closed the photo album but didn't put it back just yet.
She'd be proud of you, you know.
I just shrugged again. For what? For still not having written my college application essay? For almost losing my best friend a few months ago because I decided to date his brother behind his back? For not being able to get a part-time job despite the number of applications I'd sent out?
Don't want to talk about her, I take it?
I shook my head, and Dad took the photo album from me to slide it back into its home in the cabinet.
How was Levi?
Now this was a conversation I could handle. Good. His sister was cute. We made brownies.
I hope when you say we, you mean they, because we all know you can't bake, bud.
I mean they, I smiled. But yeah, anyway, it was all really good. Becca, that's Levi's sister. She was telling me all about his ex-girlfriend. And then Levi told me that his dad had prostate cancer.
Oh, Christ. Is he okay now?
Levi said he's in remission, but his dad lost his job and stuff too.
That's gotta be tough on them.
Yeah.
I'm guessing this is why you're thinking about your mom a lot then.
I nodded, and Dad said,
Sounds like you two are becoming good friends. I'm glad to hear it too. Lee hasn't been around much lately.
There was a note of reproach in his voice I didn't fail to notice. He's got Rachel now, and football.
And Noah's not around either.
I was never really sure if my dad completely approved of Noah as my boyfriend, but he never said too much about it. He said he was just happy I was happy. Although I'm not sure happy was exactly how I felt right now. I'd still barely heard from Noah all day. I was trying not to think about the missed calls and texts he'd not returned, telling myself he had to be asleep. Dad sighed heavily with a concerned frown behind his glasses.
Is everything okay, bud?
Not really. But I couldn't handle thinking about that right now. Things with Lee were, well, they'd go back to normal, or this would start to feel normal at some point. Noah would be home for Thanksgiving soon, and maybe even for the Sadie Hawkins dance, if I could work up the courage to ask him. College would work itself out, and so would a job. It'd all be totally fine. Sure it is. I'm just tired. I'd better get to bed. Night, Dad.
Good night, Elle.
Instead of hearing him leave the office, though, I heard the cabinet door opening and the rustle of pages as he took the old photo album back out. And I was pretty sure I heard him sniffle. Chapter 7. I was willing it to be the Thanksgiving holidays already. The days seemed to be dragging by. It wasn't just that I was desperate to see Noah, but I felt like I already needed a break from school and my homeroom teacher asking me every other day if I'd worked on my college application essay yet. Did I have a first draft I wanted him to give me a second opinion on? Not exactly. And the mountains of homework that never seemed to get any smaller. Lee had been spending a lot of time at football practice or hanging out with the guys from the team, and when he wasn't doing that, he was usually with Rachel. And if Rachel wasn't with Lee, she was pouring herself into studying. She wanted to make sure she got into Brown, and rehearsing for the drama club. She got the part of Fontaine in the end. So I found myself hanging out with Levi a lot. After talking about his past and his dad and my mom, I could tell there was a shift between us. We'd bonded over something the others wouldn't really understand. And honestly, he was maybe the only person who made me feel at least a bit less stressed about college. He worked hard at school, but he was pretty blasé when it came to college. He had no desire to go. It wasn't for him, he said. It was as simple as that. But he did try to help with my application essay. The less Lee was around, the more I found myself missing Noah. One study hall, Levi and Dixon jokingly threw Skittles at me each time I mentioned Noah's name. They ran out of candy after 10 minutes. "So sue me," I'd snapped at them. "I miss my boyfriend." Sometimes it just made me feel cold and empty, like he should have been there with me, arms wrapped around me. Sometimes it was an ache so strong it hurt. All the phone calls in the world didn't make up for it, and the Uber Eats of my favorite takeout he had sent to me one evening he knew I was trying to work on my college application essay had totally made me cry. We had some school council meetings about the Sadie Hawkins dance, too, which kind of helped distract me and kind of didn't. It didn't help because I couldn't work up the courage to ask Noah. Not sure I could handle the rejection when I was already missing him so much. And it did help because, duh, it was a school dance, and planning was a welcome distraction, even if it was being held in the gym. That just made the challenge of decorating on a low budget all the more fun. Lee was getting just as antsy about everything as I was. Rachel had her college application for Brown all ready to go, and it seemed like most of our friends were on their way to completing applications, or at least their essays, and Lee and I were trailing behind. Not that we talked about it much. Actually, we didn't really talk about much of anything anymore. It felt like Lee was avoiding seeing me as much as Noah was avoiding talking to me about college. The more time that passed, the less he seemed to talk about classes and his friends. I kept